ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We're all born into certain expectations, whether they come from our family or society at large. For some of us, those expectations are positive. We'll ace university, or we'll find an exciting career, or we'll build the perfect family of our own, maybe even all three. But for others, society has much lower expectations and is happy to let you know about them. But what does it mean to set aside the story you've been told about yourself and find your own path? Chin Chin was following the path laid out for her. She studied hard. She went into law, got a scholarship to Harvard, but somewhere along the way, Chin Chin realised that the path she was on wasn't actually bringing her a lot of joy, and so she decided to go off script. She's just published a new memoir, Model Minority Gone Rogue. Welcome, Chin Chin.
Thank you so much for having me, Jacinta. It's a pleasure to be on here.
You describe yourself as the model daughter growing up. I wasn't one of those. Can you let me know whose expectations were you living up to?
Yeah, well, as the model daughter, and I say model student and model minority, I had so many expectations that I was trying to live up to. Firstly, from my parents who were immigrants who had come in the 80s after Bob Hawke had allowed Chinese students to stay in the country. My father was a Chinese student studying at the time, and they had a lot of expectations for me to find a stable, secure job. And then it was also the expectations being a good student of doing well at school and finding a job that, yeah, was on that path, and probably expectations that I'd taken from the media and society in general about being a good girl as well.
It's actually such a crucial aspect to understanding this, isn't it? The parents and their, you know, really important motivation, I suppose, from their perspective for you. Can you tell us a little bit about them? Because their story is so much part of yours.
Absolutely. And my story is the story not just of me, but my ancestors too, who have strived and persevered to stay alive and to, yeah, bring the opportunities that were gifted to me. And I felt a lot of burden from their sacrifices too. Growing up, my mother was a university. My mother and my father were both the first in their family to study at university after the Cultural Revolution, when all schools had closed. And they were lucky enough, they were, yeah, the rare few that got in. And then they were able to come over to Australia, which was a huge, I mean, it's like winning the lottery, you know. My dad got a PhD at the ANU. He studied entomology, which was insects, and my mother got a job at the CSIRO, also in science and plants. So although they didn't encourage me to study science, there was a lot of pressure to meet their expectations of finding that stable job.
Were you very aware of that story of their life as you were growing up?
I wouldn't say that it was on a day-to-day. I mean, I think like with anyone that's gone through difficult situations, many families don't talk about it, but I was definitely interested and I read a lot about modern Chinese history. Even though I grew up in Canberra, it had shaped China and its history had shaped me in ways that I was yet to find out, but I was very curious.
There's a fantastic text here saying, I'm going rogue as a model minority son of immigrants. Now a stay-at-home husband after studying at top universities and exhausting myself to the point of breakdown. Incredibly brave of Chin Chin to tell her story. It's inspiring to me who has struggled to break free of my conditioning. Thank you. I want to touch on two stories from your childhood, Chin Chin, because I think they're really quite telling. The first, I want to know why you learnt piano.
Yeah, I laugh because it is a stereotype for a reason, and that's because piano, my mother wanted me to learn piano. I hated it at the time. I mean, all through growing up, having to practice while everyone was, for example, like doing fun things. But ultimately, I realized it was because it would give me the language and the kind of social capital that she didn't have as an immigrant that didn't speak English very well, and would give me access to opportunities and to people that were closed off to her. And I have found that to be the case. And there's also actually research that if you study music, it's good for maths as well, because it probably fires the same synapses in your brain.
And that was another subject that you didn't necessarily feel naturally connected to, but you absolutely went hard on it, didn't you?
That's right. And I laugh again because I wasn't one of that's the other stereotype of Asians being good at maths. And that's so not true. Not everyone can be Eddie Wu. And I certainly wasn't. I had to really struggle with maths. And I did Kumon, which is an after-school maths class. I was always in the library reading books. That's what I loved doing, and books were my friends. But maths was also another way to find a stable job.
It's interesting because when you finished up high school, you made two lists. So you were very aware of the path that perhaps you longed for, because one of the lists was what I want to be. And then the other one was obviously the few banal occupations I can do, toiling all day in an air-conditioned office. Tell us about that and why you ended up leaning into that banal list.
It's amazing. When I was writing the book, I looked through my journals, like being at the library. I think journal keeping goes together with making sense of the world through words. But I looked through the list and I was shocked because I did have dreams. I wanted to be, for example, on a children's TV presenter or a foreign correspondent. And I very quickly realized that wasn't not only what my parents wanted me to do, but what I had already internalized, that it wasn't my job to do what I wanted to do. I needed to work in the air-conditioned toilet office. I had the white-collar dreams that my parents and society had meant for me. And it was only after going through a lot of failures and career pivots and unlearning that I was able to break free of that.
That's what I'm really interested in. What was that kind of crux moment that made this shift for you? Because as we heard from that texter, this is a really brave about face.
It does take a lot of courage, but I'd also say it takes a lot of desperation. And I had the gift of desperation in many different moments. I remember being in a tall office tower in Sydney, whereas when I was working as a corporate lawyer, and looking out at the window washers, they were abseiling and they looked like they were having so much more fun than me. And my friend, my colleague at the time, when we'd swipe into the elevators to go up, she said, Lisa, because that's another thing. I was known by my English name at the time. I've only recently reclaimed Chin Chin, but she said, you know, we're walking in and I can smell the stench of decaying dreams.
Oh, that is a very harsh reckoning in a lot of ways. Chin Chin, the book is an incredible insight into this transition for you. Model Minority Gone Rogue. How do you see yourself? What's your list? What's the header of your next list for what will come in the future?
that's difficult because I used to be so ambitious and make lists. Lists was what I did. Lists was what I knew. So what would it be like to not have a list anymore? What would it be like to trust that the universe has my back? And that's the journey that I write about in the book, of how I got to this point of more acceptance and knowing and trusting that I didn't have to live out of fear anymore. It was only through questioning and those times, I mean, there were many more than just looking out at the window washers, that I found out what I truly wanted to do. And how to, I guess the top of my list, if I did have a list, I don't want to be like that anymore, but would be to how to live life out of love, not fear.
Oh, that is a list I think we all need. And underneath that, window washing, perhaps, because I agree, it does look like a thrill of a time. It's a wonderful book. And as we heard from that texter as well, just a really inspiring look for all of us as to how we shake off the shackles of expectation. Jin Jin, thank you so much for joining us on Life Matters today.
Thank you so much, Jacinta, and I hope listeners who resonate can get my book from all good bookstores.
Oh, good plug, good plug. Jin Jin, author, and the book that you need to go to all bookstores to get and ask for is Model Minority Gone Rogue, How an Unfulfilled Daughter of a Tiger Mother Went Way Off Script. You are on Life Matters, Jacinta Parsons here.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.